Parsha, a very, very interesting thing. Right before V, the Jewish people are about to leave Israel, Egypt, and God says, "Daber na bazne am, hey Moshe, tell the people." Vayishalu ish me'et ra'ehu, v'ishah me'et ra'uta. Each man to take from their friend, and a woman should take from her friend. Klei kasef uklei zav, gold and silver. V'tein Hashem etchenam ba'anei Mitzrayim gam ish Moshe gadol mo'od. And thus it was that indeed it ended up happening. The Jewish people were leaving Egypt. The Torah goes into detail to talk about how before they left Egypt, they went into the Egyptian's house and they borrowed stuff, gold and silver. And it's very important for the Torah to stress that we took stuff from the Egyptians before we left Egypt. And it's very strange. I don't know about you. For me, when I read this pasuk, it just seems like, why there's such a stress? Who really cares whether they have some gold and silver as they leave Egypt? In fact, the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, if you're a slave, imagine you're in prison for many years, and they say, okay, but also make sure you take, you gotta get some, make sure you take your stuff, take your swag. Like, what do you care? You're in prison. You just want to get out. So why is the Torah putting such a stress on the fact that they took their stuff? Not only that, to make the question even stronger, if you flip back right at the burning bush, right at the revelation, in Perek Gimel, God details, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu that when you leave Egypt, what's going to happen? You're going to leave with riches. You're going to leave with money, and you're not going to leave empty-handed. And not only that, it goes back even further, back to the Brit HaBetarim. If you go to Avram Avinu, there too, Hashem tells Avram Avinu that they're going to leave Berchush Gadol, and they're going to leave with a lot of money. Okay? So the big kasha is, why is the Torah stressing over and over and over this inyan that the Jewish people should leave with money? And to just make it even a little bit stronger, what ends up happening with this money? What do they do with it?
Okay.
They end up using it for the Avodah Zarah. They end up using this money to make the golden calf. So shouldn't Hashem have known better? Right? And why? What's going on? What's the tikkun? What's so important about the Jewish people leaving with money? Yeah, you hear the kasha? Oh, so what do you guys think?
Feel that Hashem wants to keep control of them and not that when they were about to leave, they were under the rule of Hashem and not under the rule of Paro.
And how would taking money out show that they're
from? Because it would show that they no longer feared Paro's wrath, but they fear Hashem.
Ah, it's an act of showing they're not fearing God.
Exactly.
Yep, similar to the Korban Pesach. Yeah. Okay, I like it. Not where I'm heading, but I like it nonetheless. Yeah.
Well, God had to fulfill his promise to Abraham, and when he said that he would become a Berchush Gadol, so you promise Abraham that, and now you have to follow through on your deal.
Okay. The Gemara says something similar to that, right? But the question still stands, because John, why did God need to promise that to Abraham? I mean, like, why is that so important that they should leave with a lot of money? Yeah? So you're right, but why? Why is that so important? Yeah.
It could be reparations.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Other, like, 100 years of being enslaved and all that, they finally get paid back for it and are able to take what was taken from them.
Okay. I like it. In other words, it's just getting what they deserve. I like it, however, I would add the caveat of, but can you really pay back 400 years of slavery with a little bit of gold, with a little bit of silver? So, it's a good answer, but I think
so. Payback for the Holocaust with Mercedes cabs.
It's a little ridiculous, I think, but my friend Yisrael, who a lot of us know by now, he refuses to take any money reparations from the Holocaust, because I don't agree with him on this, but in any case, he feels like it cheapens the experience he had by taking any money, and that it's not worth it for him. So yeah, interesting. Yeah, what's up?
Isn't there I think the terminology used in the pasuk is quite strange, because it says uses it for like reut.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the court, in the Rambam discusses the mitzvah, he just said that it's like Reim is like Jewish neighbors, and like
mm-hmm.
the Gerim are, so like
wow.
Because Reim saw it It's like you're going to your Jewish neighbor. They have no.
I like the question. In fact, I think the question is going to end up making the answer even stronger. Very good. Although, one second. Although on a pshat level, I'm not sure if the re'ut always means friend, like Ma'atarach and Macha. Take, for example, in Shmuel, when the kingdom is taken from Shaul, it says, Lir'utah ha'tovah mimena. We're going to give him the kingdom until your friend is better than you. It wasn't David and Shaul weren't exactly buddy-buddy. Similarly, Vashti, it's replaced from Lir'utah ha'tovah mimena. Also, it goes to Esther. Vashti didn't know Esther. So Re'ut may just mean person, acquaintance. It may not necessarily mean friend every time shot, but you're right. Sometimes it means it means friend. So, yeah. And there's deep connections between that if we're learning McGill's Esther, but we're not doing it. Yeah.
In the
shop,
really
being,
if you're just going to the neighbor's house and being alone, like the neighbors aren't protesting.
They're asking them.
And you give it to them?
And you give it to them.
It's a little unusual.
It is unusual. Very unusual. I mean, there might have been a little bit of fear there. Fear, you know, maybe there was some fear. Maybe the Egyptians felt a little bad. It's a good question. All right. So I want to offer you a beautiful answer. I was always bothered by this question. The Halakha of Jonathan Sacks has a gorgeous answer. And just in general, if you've ever had a schus to read the Sefer or to listen to his Parsha videos, every week he has Parsha videos on Parsha of Syria. It's always brilliant. It's called Covenant Conversation, and he has an each book of it's very, very, very highly recommended by myself. So he points us out to two key psukim, which are the hints to understand what's really going on here. The first is we all know this one, very well known. It's the concept of you shall not hate the Edomite because he's your brother, and you shall not hate the Egyptian. The Torah commands the Jewish people not to hate the Egyptian, and eventually to let them into the Jewish people, and Egyptian is allowed to convert into the Jewish people. In other words, what the Torah is trying to tell us is, yeah, they did a lot of bad stuff to us, but no, that doesn't mean that for all of the rest of world history, we have to hate them. Or not hate people who are descended from them. We have to be willing to move on past the anger and what was done to us, and be willing to bring them into our myth, because that's the essence of being a Jewish person, is getting rid of that hatred. Yeah.
If Moses does stop hating them, then why is it considered an avera to live in Egypt?
That's a great question. I don't think it's about hatred going back to Egypt. I think there's a different purpose of why we're not supposed to go back to Egypt. I don't think it has anything to do with it. And we discuss it on the side. What's the goal of that mitzvah? Okay? And that is, okay. That's hint number one. Hint number two, and this is the kicker, this is really cool. Sefer Dvarim. We have a mitzvah. A mitzvah, when a slave is leaving, and you've had a good Jewish slave, and he's going free. So what are we supposed to do to this slave? What are we supposed to give him?
Earring.
An earring, and that's when he's signing up. I'm not talking about when he's signing up, when he's leaving. And he's leaving.
You give him like money and whatever to us.
Oh, so Pasuk says, and Parshas Re'eh, you find it? L'chi teshalchenu chafshi meimech, lo teshalchenu reikam. The same phrase of don't, we should not leave empty handed. You should not go empty handed. Ha'anik ta'anik lo mitzonecha, migarnecha, mikevecha, asher berachacha, adonai lecha titen lo. Give him stuff, sheep, goodies. Why? V'zacharta ki eved ha'ita be'eretz Mitzrayim yivtecha Adonai elecha al-ken anochi mitavchat ha'davar zayayom. Remember, you were Egypt's. You were slaves in Egypt, and that's why I give you this commandment. In other words, explains Rav Sacks, the idea is that this slave, you're not going to pay him back for all those years of servitude. That's not the idea. When you give him a gift of gratitude at the end of his service, what does he feel? He feels love. He feels connection. He feels like maybe that mistreatment that he may have experienced over all those years, he's more easily able to let that go, because he feels like my master appreciates me, I'm in good terms with him, and I'm moving on. Right? And I've actually experienced it. Sometimes you've had a rough relationship with someone, but then at the end of the day, you like give each other a big hug, or I don't know, you leave an institution and like there's some rough patches. Then at the end of the day, you know, if it's nice at the end, you kind of be able to move on and you kind of be able to remember the good. Our memories are built such that we remember the end very, very, very strong. Okay? And that's what makes the biggest imprint in our memories. So now, and we're talking about Egypt. Yeah.
Just look at the post it says, Yitzhakunam in Kasa.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're saying that's a, you're saying
yeah.
A connection of the Chinam.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It's good. Bringing it back to Egypt. So why did God, why was God so insistent that the Jewish people leave Egypt with these reparations, with taking money? It's not so that to get justice. It's not so that the Egyptians should, you know, get payback what they need to pay back. It's not about the Egyptians at all. Who's it about?
Themselves.
The Israelites. It's about so that the Jews can leave that hatred, leave that anger, leave that resentment behind. By getting these gifts, by feeling like they have that night, that watch or that whatever, they're able to get rid of the hatred, move on to eventually, slowly, get that anger out of them and be able to embrace a life of love. Yeah? You hear the concept? You hear the idea? Yeah.
So, were they not worried about, like, taking a Avodah Zarah? Because, like, we can take it back to Shlem. Like, Yaakov tells them bear everything because he doesn't want any Avodah Zarah. But then now they can just take whatever they want and everyone's okay with it.
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer. I'm not sure exactly what they took. That's a good point. I don't know. Lamaisa, making this practical, bring this to our own lives, because that's what we always try to do at the end of the shiur. How do we apply this to our own lives? Gevalt, we all have anger. We all will have anger and hatred and resentment for things that other people have done to us. Sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes the people who have done wrong to us deserve, so to speak. It's only fair that we're still angry at them for what they did. And we feel like we have the, it's our schut, it's our right to hold on to that anger and that hatred. And at the same time, it's completely useless and there's no reason to hold on to hatred. It's like letting that person who did bad to you stay in your brain forever and pay rent and stay in your brain and not pay any rent and just continue to wreck your life unnecessarily. So the answer has to be love. The answer has to be letting go of the hatred so that we can have space for love and connection in our lives, for that re'ut. Rabbi Nachman teaches that if you're not connecting to a part of the Torah, if you're just not getting Torah, you know what's holding you back? You hate someone. There's hatred in your heart. The hatred in your heart does not allow you to connect to another person because God and the Jewish people are one, and that hatred is what holds us back. And I'm saying this not because it's easy. I'm saying this because it's hard. It's not natural. Especially when people do things that are really, really bad to us, our natural reaction is to be angry at them. And I'm not saying that immediately we can push a button and just be like, oh, it's all good, no worries. Sometimes it's a longer, slower process to get there. Sometimes it takes 4 generations. It takes time. But at the same time, the goal really should be in any interaction with negative interaction in life, not to get angry, but to look up to God and ask, what does God want me to do? And if God's saying we should let go of that anger, and let go of it. I thought you'd just one final story. Shlomo Karbach, his whole family were wiped out in the Holocaust. So he had a lot of right, like many Holocaust survivors, to be extremely angry and have nothing to do with Gentiles or the Germans or anything like that. And the approach that he chose was just the opposite. He said he was the first musician, the first Jewish musician to go back to Poland, to go back to Germany and play music for largely Gentile concert halls. And his message is very simple. And people ask him, there's a famous interview, why would you, how can you do that? What about your grandparents? What about your father? What about your uncle who's wiped out? He says, but why? Why would I choose hatred? That's not the way of the Torah. The way of the Torah is love. The way of the Torah is connection. And these people had nothing to do with it. Why would I let that hatred stay in my heart? And so he opened up his heart to the whole world and to every person he met. And there's many stories of people who literally spat him in the face, and he was able nonetheless, similar with Rav Kook, to lend them money and to do acts of kindness and love altruistic loving, because he knew that the greatest act of kindness that we could do for ourselves is to get rid of that hatred and anger and just continue to choose kindness no matter what. No matter what. So I bless myself, and I bless you guys too, that in all every challenging situation, we should look towards love, and Bezrat Hashem, we should have a life of love and no hatred. Shabbat.